Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'm very happy to welcome you tonight to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And today we are truly having a very, very special show. Tonight with me is Senior Minister of Circle Sanctuary and the founder and the all things Circle Sanctuary, of course, Selena Fox. I'm very honored to have you as my guest tonight because we have very many things to celebrate today. We have to celebrate the anniversary of CSMP, this amazing endeavor that we took on a couple of years ago. And we also have the commemoration of the International Women's Day. So welcome, Selena. How are you?
It's great to be back on your show, Laura. And I am so glad to be here to celebrate the anniversary of CSNP and to do some education, commemoration, and celebration, depending on where you are in the world, of Women's History Month and International Women's Day. So it's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. And I know you and I have an incredibly shared passion for a number of things. I'm very honored to share those passions with you. The first one that I noticed is working with the ancestors at Samhain and Day of the Dead and all that. And that's how I fell in love with you and your work, and I enamored of everything that you produce. But then we connect on the passion and love for communication, for education, for lending our voices on the different platforms that we can encounter. And shortly after that relationship, we have, you know, this amazing adventure coming together with the team of Circle Sanctuary Podcast, joining forces and creating the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. It's been 2 years. Can you believe that?
It's been an amazing 2 years. And I know that we, you and I and others on the team, did quite a bit of reflection and visioning and decided to go for it, to actually have a network with multiple podcasts. And one of the things that I recall as we birthed CSNP together was the diversity that each of us could bring to podcasting through Circle Sanctuary. I mean, we serve so many different people, not only in the U.S., although many people who have been getting our emails and things know about the U.S. piece, but from our earliest days, Circle Sanctuary, going back to the founding in 1974, has had a global dimension to it. And I'm so thankful that podcasting has continued to go well for us at CSNP and as a way of sharing information and connecting people in the larger world. I've seen so much growth in the last 2 years.
You know, I think part of the growth that we have now with CSNP is obviously because the addition to different languages and different styles of podcasting. For those who hear me saying hi every time on Lunatic Mondays, Lunatic Mondays is the first bilingual, but we have another show that is also bilingual on Spanish and Portuguese. So that brings a multilingual station into the world. plus everything and anything that is on the internet goes global. So it is great to join for us, you know, to join this team and to go global. And I think that last year with the worldwide pandemic going on, a lot of people turned into art and education via international worldwide web. So maybe that's also a factor. Yeah.
I'm really glad our podcast was already established prior to the pandemic. It has given us an opportunity to converge even more people together through our podcast, people listening live and people listening later. And it's been a means through which we can express healing, have people discuss the pandemic, give support, do rituals, have discussions. So I'm thankful that we already had our network established, and it was going about a year before the pandemic got declared on March 11th of 2020 by the World Health Organization. And I know for myself, I have come to appreciate podcasting and the audio way of connecting with people as being part of a spectrum of community connections in cyberspace. I'm so glad that you and I have been able to collaborate on the international dimensions of CSNP. I'm very thankful for your organizational skills and your multilinguality, because the pagan world is beyond the English-speaking world. There's pagans in more than 200 countries around the planet, and I am so thankful for both of your podcasts.
I have to say thank you for the opportunity to have it, and I want to relay with you, Selena, and with the other folks that are listening now that probably don't speak Spanish, that we have an anniversary special coming on Spanish on March 13th. And when I was pre-recording with the collaborators for Paganos del Mundo, they all mentioned, you know, how honored they are, how thankful they are to you and to Circle Sanctuary, the organization, and how honored they are to work with Circle in this capacity of bringing the spirit of paganism and togetherness to the world through the podcast. So I wanted to share that with you. And part of the interview that I did with them, I asked them all, what are the rewards that you've been having on the last year working with CSNP, with Paganos del Mundo on their case? And what were the challenges? So I have you here. I have to ask you, what are the rewards? What are the challenges from both Nature Mystic and Nature Spirituality, your shows on CSNP?
Well, I think one of the wonderful things to celebrate is the fact that Nature Mystic gives us an opportunity to rebroadcast some of the many podcasts from our archives. So I've done a number of different podcasts over the last 10 years, Circle Craft Study, and a number of those now have been broadcast on CSNP, but I had Nature Magic and Nature Folk, and I did Divining Dreams. So as part of evolving and working with podcasting, I have experimented with different shows, and I really appreciate the opportunity to switch things up from time to time. And some of my podcasts have had guests on, such as you do, and some of them have been presentations, workshops that I've been doing, and some have been rituals, and some have been a combination. I think some of the challenges I've had personally with nature spirituality has been I live in a forest not too far from the capital city of Wisconsin, Madison, but it's about a 40-minute drive from the city. Although I'm not that far away, the infrastructure for communication is not what it needs to be. So one of my biggest challenges in doing podcasting, especially in the past year, is that my landline phone connection kept dropping. So I'm hoping that the cell phone that I'm using now will continue to work throughout this show. And I ended up getting one from a regional carrier so that that particular challenge could be met. I do think coming up with new material and different ways of looking at some things that I've covered before, that's both a delight because it stimulates creativity, but it also involves a lot of advanced planning. So I really appreciate the world of podcasting and very glad for both of your shows. I'm glad to be doing two myself. And I also want to do a shout out to Deborah Rose for continuing on with our Circle Talk show, and to David and Jeanette Ewing, who do Moon Magic, as well as help with some organizational and engineering work for the station as a whole. How do you think it's been over the past couple years? As you think back when we first started this and the different experiences that we've had.
First of all, thank you for your response. And of course, a shout out to our teammates, Deborah Rose and the Ewings, David and Janet Ewing. And for those who don't know, Circle Talk is about a talk, it's usually an interview. And Moon Magic, they do speak about the moon lore of that month, and then closer to the full moon, they actually do a ritual over the podcast, and it's a wonderful way to connect with the community at large. And yes, I love looking back, you know, when we were sitting together and having those meetings and planning, and well, I've said this before, but I don't care to repeat it, how Paganos del Mundo just came up in the middle of a meeting.
Yes.
When I said, I have an idea, I want to integrate Portuguese and do an international. And then I remember you asking me, what would you call it? And I say, I don't know, Pagans of the World, Paganos del Mundo. And it just came up like that. So those are the lightning in a bottle moments, right, that you cherish forever.
Yeah.
Collaborating with everybody, of course. And we went on the air on April of 2 years ago, but we were planning since like December. And
right.
So it's great. It was the process of planning and doing it and getting together and who's doing what and where are the different talents that were brought into the table. That was a great process that I remember and I cherish greatly. And then, of course, for me, Lunatic Mondays is my baby. I've been doing Lunatic Mondays for 5 years. The interviews are getting better and better. And I say this with humbleness in my heart. Every time I do a new show, I think I cannot top the guest. I cannot top the interview. I think that was the best ever. And then the next show comes up and the next guest brings their magic, their knowledge, their wisdom. And every show, I promise you, I have that thought of, I cannot top myself. I cannot top the show. This was the best. And then it just keeps happening. So that is something I'm very grateful to have. Also to have the experience to connect with all these wonderful authors and artists and activists and people that I have been privileged to interview on Lunatic Mondays, both in English and in Spanish. So that is just a continue learning process for me and a pleasure to do and to share with the community. But the jewel on the crown for me is Paganos del Mundo. It is an accomplishment that I would never in my wildest dreams thought that I could say, I am a producer of four shows and they are multilingual. And by the way, this is played on CSMP. I still have to pinch myself a lot of times, you know, and my collaborators couldn't be of more quality. These are people who have been doing their work. They're authors, they're artists in and of themselves of podcasts and communication. And they're extremely well professionals, I guess I can say. My English is not good sometimes. But there are such quality people. So I wish we could all communicate with all the different languages, you know, so you all could enjoy the greatness of Paganos del Mundo. But sorry, it's only for the people who speak Spanish and or Portuguese. But it's a great experience, and I'm very thankful to do it. And as I have told you before in private, I can tell you now in public, I will be doing podcasts with CSMP for as long as you have me, no matter what. This is my passion, it's my devotion, and it's my way to give back to the community. I love it.
Well, I am so appreciative of all of your work. And another dimension to podcasting that I want to express appreciation to you and to Casey Pope, because social media is another way that podcasting makes its way through cyberspace. So I give thanks to you for the CSN Cast Facebook page and give thanks to Casey for putting images out on Circle Sanctuary Serious platforms. Yes, I also contribute to Instagram and my Facebook page and YouTube and Twitter. And I also give thanks to everyone connected with Circle Sanctuary community, people helping us with the organization as a whole, as well as with networking. And so for everybody listening live and listening later, thanks for your support and thanks for being part of our celebration of our second anniversary. And for tuning in on this momentous day, we not only do global connecting through CSMT, but throughout the year, not just on International Women's Day, we are a way of sharing information and bringing people together to discuss and to share ways of being in the larger world. And I think that's so important that we have many voices expressing various viewpoints, connecting with spiritual dimensions of nature, and celebrating the divine in a variety of different forms. And on this International Women's Day, certainly part of my own celebrations on the podcast that I've been doing has been taking a look at goddess spirituality and how that's grown and changed over time.
It is really amazing that the movement is an international global movement. It's all about equality for women and equal rights for everyone that is disenfranchised, but in particularly for women, obviously. And it looks so different from different perspectives, you know. It's really intersectional. That's the word. And it has to be intersectional. And
absolutely.
When you were mentioning right now, you were mentioning different ways of live and express our spirituality and our devotion to life, to nature, to the goddess. And I want to share with you all, because I have to led you in this information, being the bridge between one language and the other. The women's movement in Latin America, Spanish-speaking countries, particularly in Mexico, we have a lot of artists that are creating music and performance arts as a means to advance the equal rights movement and the women's movement and the women's march and 8M and, you know, Women's Day. And a lot of the art that is created, it is highly spiritual, and there is a lot of talking about the goddess and the goddess within and the force of the goddess and the feminine divine. And I find this to be a unique and amazing phenomenon, because they speak of the goddess as an emblem or a symbol of the movement, and as an emblem of goddess within or goddess themselves as women. However, they don't see goddess from a perspective of religious and or spirituality like us pagans see it. So I find that to be incredible. And when we say goodbye tonight, I have to tell you, I'm going to play a song that is called Diosa, which in Spanish is goddess, by the artist Renee Ghost. And she wrote this song. It's in Spanish, but you will get it because it's just international and beautiful. And it's about that, devotion to oneself as an empowerment. So that is one of the very many facets of the women's movement in 2021. And isn't it peculiar, Selena, for you and I who see, well, I don't presume to know how you see the goddess, but we see it as part of our spirituality and of religious expression. And they see her as an icon of empowerment, which is the same, but it's not.
Yeah, and I do think that the diversity and how we empower ourselves, how we experience the culture where we are most identified, and some of us are multicultural in our identification, the place where we live, there's so many different factors that all converge. And I know for myself, when I teach about goddess spirituality, I recognize there are people who may not embrace the religious word or the spirituality word, but are resonating with some of the same goddess names and lore and images as a way of connecting with the deep recesses within our own being. And I think that International Women's Day, we look to the past, we're looking at the present, and we're working for a better tomorrow, for the future. And one of the things that I've discovered every year that, and I've been celebrating International Women's Day in various ways pretty much my adult life, and it's changed from year to year. This year, I've made a point of expanding my way of hearing voices from people celebrating or teaching or demonstrating and or observing in one or more other ways to really get this sense of the global nature of all of this. You know, International Women's Day is diverse in terms of how people choose to observe it. Not everybody observes it on March 8th. There are people that will celebrate it on multiple days in the year and some at different times. So when the UN made it an official UN day of observance, it also included the language that the actual date that it manifests locally depends on a variety of factors, which I think was really good because it was more universal and inclusive that way.
It is indeed. And I love to hear about your experiences from back in the day when you were younger and you were part of the celebrations on International Women's Day, but I want to share with you an anecdote. I was confused and I was actually upset because I heard people calling it Women's Month. And I was like, come on, stop glamorizing this. This is a commemoration of women's struggle and women's rights. And don't say we celebrate. And it's not something that is the all month long. And then I went and I educated myself. And in the United States, it's Women's Month. So we get
Correct.
To commemorate and to remember for a whole month. And that's another, like, cultural shock that people have, you know. And I live here. And I'm immersed in the United States culture, and it's still, you know, I still have to, like, educate myself about why keep people saying, why people keep saying Women's Month, you know? So it's just, it evolves so quickly.
Yeah, so, you know, in some parts of the world, it's just known as Women's Day, and part of that comes from the history of International Women's Day. It began in 1908. It actually began as a workers' holiday in the U.S. Then it got picked up in Europe. And then we're getting into the first part of the 20th century, 1917, 1918. Transformations happened. So in Russia, March 8th became a thing. Actually, the very first International Women's Day was May 3rd, which was a workers' holiday in the U.S. So the actual day of it has migrated around a bit. And I'm glad that as a result of second wave feminism in the late 60s and the 1970s in the U.S., that it gave it a boost to have it be even more universal, more international. And so women's history and women's studies started emerging, which led to not only International Women's Day, but the whole month of Women's History Month. In the days when it was more identified, a worker holiday, some places where it's celebrated used Women's Day instead of International Women's Day to distinguish the different focus of this particular day. But now I'm happy to report that all of those different ways of referring to it are alive and well on Twitter. So as I was
yes.
posting, I used different variations of IWD and IWD 2021 and International Women's Day and Women's Day. I used a variety of forms in order to connect my tweets with that larger range that was diversely being identified.
I think it's wonderful how nowadays with the internet, with Twitter, with the different, like you said, the different denominations and names and ways to celebrate is now more global, more coming together. And it's a blessing that all of the different names and nomenclators are used because it includes everybody.
Yes. I mean, I learn stuff every time International Women's Day comes around. I make it a point to, in addition to the actual day itself, on days leading up to it, and then for days following it, I endeavor to look at videos, to look at social media posts, to read some articles, to learn about history, as well as to look at ways that it's being observed in different parts of the world, by different generations and people of different faith traditions and philosophies. But ultimately, to me, at the heart of International Women's Day, by whatever name you know it, there is the quest for gender equity, equal opportunity, full rights. How that plays out, depends on which part of the world that you're in. We certainly need to be happy about progress that's been made, but part of dealing with the present is having those conversations of what needs to be done yet and how are we going to work together to accomplish gender equity.
Exactly. And, you know, part of what I was telling you before when we were planning this talk with this interview was the big difference on also, you know, saying, are you celebrating? Are you commemorating? Are you observing?
Yes.
It is. I think what I want to say is in Latin America, in Latin American countries, in Spanish-speaking countries, we don't say we're celebrating because we feel way far behind from celebrating anything. There is still a lot of pressure. And case in point, the Mexican Palace of Government has this incredibly high and hostile fences that they put on a couple of days before so to stop the women protesting. I mean, that's the kind of government we're still dealing with in Mexico, you know, and they protect the buildings more than they protect women. So we say we commemorate. And I understand that. And this is near and dear to my heart. And yeah, I say, no, I don't want to celebrate. I want to commemorate. I want to observe. But then my other half lives in this country that realizes the accomplishments and realizes that women have gone as so far as to be vice president of the United States. So we do have something to celebrate. So from my very humble point of view is we celebrate the accomplishments, but to make it very clear to people that we don't celebrate like a greeting card holiday where we say Happy Women's Day, here is a box of chocolates, I will do the dishes tonight. That's not what Women's Day is about. So I would love to hear your opinion, if you have any, in the different ways to actually say it, that is commemorated or celebrated or observed.
Well, one of the things that has continued to me as this special day honoring and remembering women and working for gender equality, I have seen so many changes in this particular special day and how it's been observed over time. In 1975, when the UN made it an official day in the UN realm, it added a much more universal dimension. Well, in recent years, with social media and with corporate America, there has been a let's go and be relevant for women because there are market share, big market share. So there has been a certain amount of commercialization going on with it. And I know I've heard some who really object to that. For myself, I see that as just adding another dimension to the day and helping to boost the signal. And so in some cases, people focus on women in sports, some women in business, some women in the arts, music, theater, the visual arts, the written arts. Some do a combination. Certainly women in politics, I do think that is a lens through which people in each country would do well to observe what's going on with gender equity regarding who are the lawmakers in various parts of the world. What's the percentage of women in the population? What's the percentage of women who are making laws, who are doing governance? And there is a big spectrum. Some of the things that I do as part of my own observances is to spend some time learning about situations that I haven't had much background in. And today, I happened to look at part of a program called Women of the Wall, which was put on Jewish television, JBS TV, and seeing two women rabbis talk about their ongoing quest to be able to pray, have equal rights in terms of the ritual items they had with them when they do their prayers, equal access to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, and the temple that remains, which is in Jerusalem. And I had my consciousness raised when I listened to the stories of each of the rabbis and how they were detained. They were arrested for having a prayer shawl, essentially, and attempting to do prayers. And I was aware there was diversity in Judaism with different branches of Judaism, but I had not realized until a few hours ago that women are still battling for equal rights to practice their religion at a holy site. So there clearly is a real opportunity on International Women's Day, not only to review what we know and take a look at what's in our country, but to look around the world and not only educate, but find ways to collaborate and support efforts to bring about greater gender equity and women's rights in the world today.
It is indeed. And you've heard me say this before, I'm enamored of technology and the way the world keeps shrinking and it fits in the palm of our hands now. And this is a great opportunity, as you said earlier, with the hashtags. Just go into hashtags and see what is happening in other countries. And I will even add, you know, be adventurous. Even if you don't understand the language, look at the photos, listen to what the people are saying, try to read. And there are so many apps and gadgets now that translate what is written on the photos. So you can actually click on the see translation. And then if anything, you know, really honor the commemoration of this day to actually learn what is happening globally. Selena, I want to ask you something. And this is personal. If you want to answer, that's fine. If you want to pass, I will understand. But I remember vividly when I realized that I was treated different because of the body that I inhabit. Do you remember when was the last time that you really realized that you were treated differently for being a woman?
I've had that understanding since I was very young. And now with intersectionality, I do go into places that I haven't gone before in terms of institutional presence and speaking in different places. Certainly in the past year, it's been online. And it isn't as easy now to be able to tell if there's some issues, whether it's gender, it's my age, it's my politics, it's my religion, or a combination. But I have been able to frame those moments where I have recognized myself breaking a barrier as opportunities to strengthen resolve and to increase diplomacy when that can work. to recognize that some of us do have as part of our walk here on planet Earth, our incarnation, to help stretch some boundaries to move us towards greater understanding and equality. But I've had, I would say something that has been common throughout a good portion of my life has to do with when I conduct business on the phone. I'm polite, but I often am misgendered, that I get things done, people are calling me sir, I wait till the business is done before I correct them. then it's a teaching moment as well as a real opportunity for me to have another tale to tell. So I have been blazing some trails, breaking gender barriers throughout my adult life, and I have learned to be the only woman in a room full of men and to navigate that and to hold my own. And in the halls of religion back in the 70s, there were less women religious leaders back then. And it was early on in my priestess life. So it was difficult back then even. Well, are the raised eyebrows because my gender or because I'm pagan or both?
Yeah. I was actually digging for that phone anecdote because I've heard you say that in person, but I was hoping that's the one that you would share. And I have to tell you, I have a similar situation where if I am sending emails or texting to people and they see the assertiveness and the direct language, you know, and then they usually believe that it's a man behind the messaging. And then when I say, okay, yeah, my name is Laura, they're like, what? Was I talking to a woman at this time? Yes, you were. I have adopted the saying of my existence is my resistance, because we really check so many boxes of the intersections of what the biggest don't like, you know. And truly existing and being happy seems to be the worst kind of what really ruffled their feathers is when we can laugh about it. And I love that about you, that you always laugh about these good things, you know.
Well, and I do think those of us who are rooted in nature religion, you know, and certainly paganism is, you know, deep in the heart of nature religion, nature spirituality. Nature, by its very existence, is so diverse and colorful. It is a multi-culture. I mean, there are just so many different life forms and colors and shapes and sizes, and it's such a beautiful realm to be part of. And I see that as we look at women around the world, it's really important that not only do we hear the different voices and have a good means to navigate the different languages so that there's understanding, but one of the really exciting things is the fact that we come in all sorts of shapes and sizes and ages. So one of the things that I've seen as I've aged is I've been, for a while I was more on a minority. I probably still am a minority of women who have let their hair naturally turn gray and silver. And to let it grow out. So as I've been going through my crone years, I have just let my hair turn silver. More people are starting to do that. I'm not saying everybody needs to do that. More of a choice now. Yes, I don't have to have it short, permed, and cropped, coiffed. It can be long and wild and curly as another face of an older woman. And I think as women age and as we continue our quest for gender equality, we bring some of that power into the process of aging to break forth out of the patterns of being limited in terms of opportunities for ourselves, to be able to continue to grow and evolve and self-actualize, and for those of us who feel called to do so, to be in public that way. And I do think the more we're able to be aware of the rich diversity of humankind as a whole, and here on this International Women's Day in particular, taking a look at women, that diversity and an awareness of that diversity helps all of us, regardless of how we identify gender-wise, regardless of where we are on the planet. It helps us get a better and fuller understanding of the diversity that exists. And in knowing that, hopefully to be able to embrace that diversity and really work for a world where there's better understanding and equality for all of us.
Exactly. I am so inspired by you, and I must tell you, I don't care if it's corny or if people think it's corny, but about 12 years ago, I started noticing my hair turning, you know, one here, one there. I didn't have as many as I have now. And I asked my dear friend, Marty Couch, so Marty, what's your opinion? Do you think I should color it, or do you think I should go Selena Fox on it? And he said, I think you should go Selena Fox. This was before I met you. This was even before
That's
I met
great.
You. So, yes, you certainly are a trailblazer on many, many things. And I want to say to all the women out there, especially for us on the diverse side and the Latinx, Hispanic, Spanish, Mexican-American, or otherwise community, we are taught as women, as children, to compete with one another and to see who looks better, who has the better body shape. And I want to remind us all that all shapes are beautiful. All shapes are part of nature. And whether you identify as feminist or not, because there's still a lot of stigma and there's still a lot of, you know, people still doubt or have like, they want to negate to be feminist. So you don't have to be identify as feminist, but today is your day, whether you're a feminist and you're marching or not, whether you're home or whether you have children or you don't have children or whatever. It's our day to commemorate the existence of a whole demographic group that is considered less than just by the body in which they were born. So let's unite, if you can, the whole month, Women's History Month, if you can, only for one day, hopefully forever, because it really is beautiful when diversity comes together and push for equity, you know. I think it's really important that we stop arguing with each other and fighting with each other about, you know, the little things that are not the ones that are oppressing us. The things that are oppressing us are greater and grander, and they are not even here criticizing us. They are up there on their ivory towers making laws and ignoring us, you know. So it's better that we unite and fight for our rights and not fight against each other.
Absolutely. And I do think that part of consciousness raising. That's what it was called in the early days of the second wave feminism. You know, women would get together, and women-only groups would share their experiences, and that process was called consciousness raising. And certainly it paralleled some other ways of people really endeavoring to go deep and to explore the human experience. I do think that being able to pay attention to what kind of messages we may have been programmed with, regardless of culture, what age we are, whatever, really do a deep dive as we come to terms with who we are. Well, what are the expectations that have been programmed into us, and which of those make sense, which of those fit, and which of those need to be discarded? Certainly in my own quest to, and I actually became an activist for women's rights my first year in college. I knew that the college was mostly male. They only admitted 25% of women at that time. This was the fall of 1967. And I realized that I would not be in a place, it was co-ed, but not 50-50. Once I started in on orientation and campus life, I realized there were huge discrepancies in terms of how young men were treated on campus and young women. Women were much more tightly controlled. Kind of the irony is, I, who really like wearing long flowing dresses and things, I actually campaigned for the right of women to wear slacks on campus. And the only time I've ever really burned a book was the college rule book. I had my first rally on campus was getting a bunch of people together to burn the rule book for women. Men had no rule book, women did. And from that point onward, I realized that I enjoyed the campus life. I am thankful that I studied there, but it clearly transformed me in terms of going from being concerned and upset about a situation to taking some direct action. And I do think on this International Women's Day and every day, one of the things we need to keep in mind is, in addition to being aware of discrepancies, is to become aware and motivated and empowered to take action, to be part of the solution, and to really bring about gender equity. And there's so much that needs changing, I get that. But if one can, a particular project or endeavor, and work with that for a period of time, the next year, for example, you can make a difference. It's basically cumulative. As each of us find ways to contribute, we can hit critical mass and really allow some different and better things to happen.
Yes, indeed. And as you said earlier, you know, there are people who focus on women in sports or women in politics or women in arts or whatever. So whatever calls your heart, you don't have to be marching on the streets. You don't have to be on the front lines. And that is something that is also inclusive of different able bodies, because some of us who cannot march can spread the voice and can be active on the internet, bringing information and sharing educational content and et cetera, you know. So there are very many ways to be an activist. Actually, I've heard somewhere that it's only like a 30% of activists that are actually on the front lines marching, that the 70% is people hauling sandwiches and making signs and sharing stuff on the internet. So don't feel that you are limited to be an activist. You can do it on many different ways. Selena, we have 5 minutes left. I cannot let you go before I ask you what will come on the next couple of shows for your shows, since we were talking about the CSMP station, obviously, and then some closing thoughts before we go into this wonderful song that we're going to say goodbye with tonight.
Well, thank you. Yes, I am doing a series of podcasts this month on nature spirituality. That's my Wednesday night podcast on CSNP. It too starts at 7 p.m. Central. You can listen live or listen later on demand after broadcast. On my Wednesday night podcast, I have endeavored to simultaneously live stream it to my Selena Fox updates page, and that's to not only give more choice in terms of how people connect, but an additional place to have it archived. And this coming Wednesday and a couple of nights from now, I am doing a special podcast celebrating Women's History Month, and it's my time release, International Women's Day. I'm going to be taking a look at some of my accomplishments, experiences with my priestess life. For in spring of 2021, I am celebrating 50 years from the very first time I did a public pagan ritual. So I'm going to share some of my experiences as a priestess, and some of that involves going where no priestess had gone before, in the interfaith realm and in the political realms, and some of it will be some of my experiences encountering people of different paths, beliefs, cultures, my travels in different places around the world. So that will be happening on March 10th. And the very last Wednesday of the month, it will be Circles of Womanhood, and really taking a look at rites of passage for maiden, mother, and crone. And of course, I'm part Irish. I'm a multicultural, multi-ethnic hybrid, all-American patchwork quilt of ancestry. On St. Patrick's Day, which I call Irish Heritage Day, I'm doing a thing on pagan Ireland. And on Nature Mystic, I will also be welcoming in the springtime and celebrating Irish heritage and sacred circles as part of celebrating spiritual traditions rooted in nature. I'm so thankful to be here on the second anniversary of CSNP show with you, Laura, and I look forward to continued collaboration with you and the rest of the CSNP team in times to come.
I thank you very much for being with me. I couldn't find a better way to celebrate, to commemorate, and to observe International Women's Day than being with you. You are certainly my icon, and I follow you. Yes, that is not a secret for anybody. I am not getting as much starstruck as I used to, but I still do, so please bear with me. But I thank you very much for being on the show. And I just want to say very quickly, for those who like this show, Lunatic Mondays, we're going to have Byron Ballard on March 22nd. We're going to have Christopher Hughes on April 12th. And we're going to have Drea Mandy on April 26th. On April 5th, on Spanish, we're going to have Rene Ghost on Lunatic Mondays. Thank you so much, Selena, for being here. Thank you for everybody who has listened and supported Lunatic Mondays and supports CSMP for 2 years. We're going to say goodbye tonight with this song collaboration, Renee Gauss, Audrey Funk, and Rebecca Lane, with the goddess song. The name is Diosa. See you later. You are love. Good night.
Y la semilla, soy el pistilo en la flor que desdobla su cuello y saluda al sol. Divinidad infinita, agua de sal cristalina nacida del centro de mi creación. Oh, cuando me preguntan si soy religiosa, yo contesto, soy mi propia diosa, soy mi propia voz, soy mi propia diosa, soy la revolución. Soy cuerpo de valle.
Desde un altar de oro me comunico con mis guías. Tengo fe en la sangre de cada guerra vivida. No tuve salida, ven mi grandeza. Hoy es el día, mi estatus realeza. Aires de la selva, mucha piel morena. Mi paso laureles de todas mis reinas. Todas somos diosas que no te la vendan.
Creo en mí, creo en mis poderes. Creo en nosotras, creo en las mujeres. Creo en mi abuela y sus oraciones. Creo en mis sueños y alucinaciones. Creo en mis plantas y los sahumerios.
Joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.